This is the Living from God's Center podcast, episode 033. Be centered.
Welcome to your Living from God Center podcast, supporting pastors and ministry leaders weekly to find your God space to live and serve God and others with confidence, peace, and joy. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is insearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And now, with today's podcast, here's your host, Dr. Claire Smith, spiritual mentor and prayer coach.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And guess what? We have a guest. Today joining us is Reverend Gordon Glenn, pastor of Ward Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church, otherwise known as the AME Church. He is in his third year at Ward Chapel. He's pastored in Topeka and Newton, Kansas, and different places. Originally from Boston, though born in Atlanta, but he did his schooling in Boston. He's a graduate of Boston University. His wife is also a pastor, and they have two kids. Reverend Glenn, welcome to Living from God Center podcast.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I know we're going to learn a lot from you and be inspired. So tell us a little, please, about your church and ministry.
The church that I pastor, I've been assigned to, is Ward Chapel AME Church, as you've already said. And we're about to celebrate 114 years in ministry, so we've been at this for a while. It's a relatively small church when you compare it to others, but we are on fire for the Lord. We are located in the not downtown, but we're located at, some would call, the hood. We're located at 22nd and Prospect here in Kansas City, Missouri. And so being on the Prospect Street, we have a very varied type of congregation. There's folk that are very close by and folk that drive in for some time. The neighborhood that surrounds our church has changed a lot in the last 114 years. I just recently learned that the area that our church used to be called the suburbs of Kansas City before urban sprawl and a number of different things. So within the area that we serve, there's a lot of crime that happens. But, you know, we try to be that beacon, that light on a hill, if you will, to serve as a place for gathering and for refreshments from all those that may come by and need a word from the Lord.
Yeah, I hear you. And you're on fire. I like that. And certainly with all that's going on around there, we need a different kind of fire, right?
I know you're right.
There's another fire they're hearing in their ears that's not so healthy, that can drive fear. Yeah. So thank God for your witness there. As you know, this is the Living from God Center podcast. So when you hear the phrase Living from God Center, what image comes to your mind?
I think about kind of a target, if you will. That's what I think of when I hear Living from God Center, meaning when we start off God being in the center of everything that we do, it has a ripple effect. It has effects that go out from us, and we're staying true to what God has called us and set us aside to be and to do, then those ripple effects will affect others and will affect others and will affect others and will affect others. You know, I said at the beginning, this is an African Methodist Episcopal Church, which means that we are a connectional church. We are connected by design. And so we have a connectional model within in our minds and within our ministry, that what we do is connected with what others are doing. What others are doing is connected with what others are doing. And so we get to, you know, drop that pebble in the water and watch the ripple effects go across our nation and world as we spread the good news.
Yeah, that is, I love how you did that. You did a double thing, right? So there's a target with God in the center. And then when we're in the center, it's like dropping the pebble in. I'm watching the ripple effect. Wow.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Now, how do you live that in your life and ministry, and what difference does it make?
That's a difficult question, but the way I try to live it is I just try to be true to what God has called me to. There's a lot I have a lot of friends in ministry and things along those lines that put up a kind of a false front, have a public face, if you will, in front of the people, and, you know, live differently otherwise, or, you know, they have this facade that they have to uphold. But I try not to do that. I try to be true when they see me, and when they see I'm struggling. It's okay to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. You know, when I'm dealing with a difficult word, when I'm dealing with a difficult situation, I just come clean. I'm like, you know, this is difficult, what we're dealing with. So I just try to live true, to just, you know, when people see me, you know, I pray every morning that my witness, my work would be a blessing to others and would show forth. You know, I pray every day that God would make me into an ambassador for him. And if I can be an ambassador for God, representing him every place I go, it kind of changes, you know, the way I do things, the way I react and interact with people. If I think that I'm showing them the Lord. You know, if my hands are God's hands in the world, if my feet are God's feet in the world, what would my hands be doing? What would my feet be doing? If my words are the words that people associate with the word of God, how does that affect me? How does that affect what I say? And I'm very careful about what I do and what I say. And so that's how I think that's how I live it out in my life. And I think it makes a difference because people tell me often, that I'm authentic, that, you know, when they experience me, they are not experiencing a false sense of who I am. They're experiencing the real true me.
Yeah, that word authentic, you know, it's interesting because people throw it around quite a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just becomes like another label. But the way you use it there, it's not. It's just you saying, for me, this is what I'm hearing. For me, being real means I'm representing Christ.
Right.
I can do that because I'm centered. And so my prayer allows me, the way I pray, the way you pray mirrors how you see yourself. And so that allows you to be real. And as you said it, what came to my mind was that verse in Peter, where it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves, you know, serving in the grace of and strength of God. So you're seeking to live that. And where do you get the strength from to be able to do that?
Where do I get the strength? That's a hard question to answer. I mean, the simple answer is just I get that strength from the Lord, and I pray for that strength on a regular basis. You know, when we have in our church, there's a part in the worship experience, time of meditation and prayer, and I go down to the altar with my congregation, and I kneel with them, and when I pray at the altar. This happens before the sermonic moment. When I pray, I just pray that God would give me the strength and the courage to do and say what he's given me to do and to say, because that takes a certain level of courage. And because sometimes I have a very hard word that I need to preach, and I know that it is coming from the Lord. And I say, Lord, you know, don't let me punk out, if you will, but let me really let me preach what you've given me to preach. Let me say it the way you have called me and given it to me to say it, and not shirk from my responsibility. But you said something a little bit before about keeping it real, and I think that that's a great phrase. But I think that phrase has really been I think misused by some. I'm not saying you are, but misused by some, because I think that people say, I'm just keeping it real, and they use that as an excuse to either be crass or to be mean. And I don't think that we ever we're never given permission to be crass or mean. You know, people say, oh, well, I'm just keeping it real. And I'm like, well, no, you're really not keeping it real. You're being mean. And I don't think that you have an excuse just because you're telling the truth. You know, Paul says, you know, all things are legal, but, you know, all things are not expedient. You know, there's there ought to be a way for you to address something without demeaning somebody, without making them feel less than a person. And so I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, that just because I'm being truthful with you doesn't mean that I have to, doesn't mean that you should leave my presence feeling less than yourself or less than whom God has called you to be. I never want that experience, because I've seen it. I've seen people been demeaned all under the umbrella of, I'm just keeping it real. And I don't think that, I think those two things are often incongruent.
Right. Thank you for making that distinction. It's so important, because as you say, people, you know, everything can be distorted. And the self in us likes to rise up and kind of do our own thing, even with the best of things. So, and what you said there, where you ended, is where you kind of started talking about the difference being living from God's center makes, when you talked about what you want, what you say to reflect, you know, if it were, the Lord speaking. So what path did you take to get to this way of living from God's center?
Making a lot of mistakes. doing the wrong thing and living to regret it is one path that I took to get this way. And you know, I've looked back sometimes, and I try not to dwell on the past. You know, I know God is a forgiving God, and He's forgiven me of all of my sins and transgressions. But you know, but He hasn't erased them from my memory. So I remember when I did this, when I did that, and I did it incorrectly. And then I prayed for God's forgiveness and for Him to show me a better way to do things. And I believe God has shown me a better way to do some things in my life. But it's not an easy path. But I've also prayed that I prayed to learn some lessons. You know, I've prayed, God, you don't have to take me down to my last dime to help me to understand the value of a dollar. You know, I don't have to get to the end of my rope in order to learn the lesson you're trying to teach me. Lord, open my eyes, open my heart. Let me see the lesson that you're trying to teach me before it gets down to before I'm on my sickbed, before I'm on my bed of affliction, as the seasoned saints would say it. I don't have to get down that far in order for me to see something coming around the corner. And for that, God has given me some discernment about some things, and I can go, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't sound right. Let me see if I might be able to cut this off in the path, at the pass before it gets to that point. So really, to answer the, you know, what path, prayer, making mistakes, being able to correct, or even, you know, even if I have to forgive myself, that's a difficult thing, because I know I said it and it was stupid. And I have to be able to forgive myself for that dumb thing that I did or said, and move forward and say, you know what? I'm a human person. I made that mistake, but that mistake is not what's going, that will not keep me out of what God has for me to do. It's too important. When I was a missionary in Southern Africa early on in my ministry, and the bishop that I traveled with, he said something to me, and it sticks with me. I think about it all the time when I look in the mirror at myself, especially when I'm wearing my clergy collar and I'm wearing all black and I'm in my uniform. He said to me, you know, Gordon, hey, I don't take myself very seriously, but I take what I do very seriously. And that's really guided me. And that phrase, I'm going, you know what? I don't have to take myself seriously. I can laugh at myself. I can make a mistake and move forward. But to know that what I'm doing is very important. Not that I'm very important, but what I'm doing is very important, is a key distinction that I make in my ministry. The other thing I wanted to say about my prayer is that I've started to pray for God to keep me from some things or to show me some lessons before it gets too bad, before it gets to the point of where it's just not good anymore. I'm glad to know that I pray about, you know, God, you don't have to take me down to my last dime to teach me the value of a dollar. And I don't have to get to the end of my rope in order to learn the lesson you're trying to teach me. And so I'm thankful that God takes me away from some things before it gets too bad.
Mm-hmm. You pray some powerful prayers. You know, sometimes in coaching we talk about powerful questions, but it's fascinating the way you pray. You know, you pray to learn from your mistakes. You pray to be kept from things. You pray to be able to see what's going on, and evidently you're a person of prayer. And
I try to be.
Yeah, you sung like you live 1 Peter 4. Sorry, not 1 Peter 4, that's not what I meant to say. Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. I referenced Peter earlier, but this time it's Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And, you know, when we do that, God can work through us, because that prayer is an openness to God in and of itself. Now, what advice would you give to someone who desires to live from God's center, especially a pastor or someone who has a leadership role in ministry?
I'll tell you what my... I'll tell you what my communication speech instructor told us when I was a freshman in college. I had my first class was an 8 a.m. Speech class, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m., 8 to 8:50. And so it's, you know, first class, you know, we're all in there. And so the instructor basically says, you know, how do you get up for an 8 a.m. speech class? And we're like, because we were all really tired. And he said, well, you just get up. You just do it. You have to put one foot in front of the other. You have to start somewhere. You have to start today. You can't say, oh, I'll try to do that next week. I'll try to do that next month. You know, the advice that I give someone who desires to live from God's center is start today. You don't have to wait for a magnificent moment. You know, we have these Easter Sunday type of mentality. You know, I'm going to wait until Easter Sunday to really get it right. I'm going to wait until, you know, my next birthday to really get it right. I'm going to wait until the next tragedy happens to really get my act together. And I don't think we have to do that. I think that if you desire to live from God's center, you need to start today. You need to start right now.
Desire is a powerful word, you know.
Commitment.
Yeah, just make the commitment.
You just have to make a commitment to do it.
Yeah. And I once did a blog post on dwelling with God, and there were three things. I don't remember all three offhand, but I remember one was desire. And I'm glad you mentioned desire. Because desire takes us past wishful thinking. And so we need to examine ourselves if we're falling, if we're failing in this area. Now, failing in this area doesn't mean that we don't have the desire. It could mean we need extra support. Because I've found that sometimes with my program, with my coaching, that some people have the desire, but they just need the extra support. But sometimes it is that we don't have the desire. We do not have the desire. And when we do not have the desire, it's an opportunity to confess to God and ask God to renew us, so that we can have that desire. Yeah. And as you said, just start. Yeah. I like that. Now, in closing, do you have a favorite book or prayer resource that you could recommend to our Living from God Center community?
A long time ago, someone gave me a copy of Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest devotional. And I just love that devotional book. I read through it every so often. You know, I have it on my shelf. And sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll go through a time period and I say, you know what, I need some extra resource. And I pick that up, and it's always has something good to say, because it really keeps me centered. And just that'd be one I certainly would recommend.
That makes me want to take my copy out and give it another run through. We spoke today with Reverend Gordon Glenn, pastor at Ward Chapel AME Church in the Kansas City, Missouri area. Thank you so much, Reverend Glenn, for sharing with us, for your patience, because we had a couple technical things happen. But thank you for your patience, and just encourage everyone to live from God's center. Let everything you do, as Reverend Glenn said, let everything you do come from that center, and then there will be the ripple effect. And be sure that we are willing and able to learn from the things that happen in our lives, and be people who pray and not allow anything to keep us from what God has for us. Remember that you can subscribe. So if you haven't subscribed yet to this Living from God Center podcast, be sure to do so, and also leave a rating. Now, when you live from God Center, you are able to leave behind the stress, frustration, fatigue, and even burnout, and live and serve with confidence, peace, and joy. It's time to center and soar. Until the next episode, this is Claire Smith signing out.
Thank you for joining us today on the Living from God Center podcast. Go forth and soar with confidence, peace, and joy in the power of the Triune God.